Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. Aren't you glad God did plan everything? Amen? Amen. Is there anybody out there today? Amen? Amen. I got to make sure you're still there. Amen? Amen. Thank you for that song. Wonderful song. Take your Bible this morning, please, and go with me to the book of Revelation and chapter number 20 in your Bibles this morning. Book of Revelation, chapter 20. I want to speak this morning on an end times message of events in the scripture that have not yet come to pass. They are events that are very eye-opening, and they are events that are very sobering, that I think that each one of us ought to understand and know what God said. You know, when God wrote things in His book, and He gave us His Word, He gave us things that we can know and be ready for, be prepared for. I like to be ready, don't you? Amen? Little Callie, my granddaughter, needed to be burped the other day, and I put her on my shoulder, and I was going to burp her, but I knew to be prepared and put that little burp cloth on my shoulder. Amen? How many of you experienced that? You know what I'm talking about? All right? And when you put her up there and burp her, you better get ready because she's going to give you a blessing. And she did. I liked that. I was glad I was prepared. Amen? And, you know, God prepares us in some things. God gives us His Word to prepare us. And so I want to get you prepared in your mind for some things that God says are coming in the future. We're going to read the entire chapter of Revelation chapter 20 this morning. So I hope you'll follow along as I read this passage of Scripture, beginning with verse number 1. Revelation 20 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison, out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And when they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that was deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that as we open it and preach it this morning, that God, your power and your presence would be here this morning. Lord, all is vain unless your power and your spirit are here. And Lord, we know that where two or three are gathered together, Lord, there am I in the midst. And God, we just need to this morning hear from you and hear thy word today. And Lord, I pray that as these truths become alive and revealed, may they be personal in our own personal lives, Father, for your word. And may, Lord, we be prepared and ready to receive them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage that I just read for you this morning is it's a sobering passage of Scripture that God tells us is going to happen at a point in time, still yet in the future. The Apostle John here is on the Isle of Patmos, and God is revealing to him these things that are yet to come. We have not seen them yet. And the time frame of this comes after an event called the rapture. There's a rapture that the Bible talks about, and it says that those in Christ will be caught away one day. They're going to be taken up out of this earth. Those that are in Christ, and it's talking about the saved. It's not talking about the lost man. Those that are in Christ are saved. They're going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in there. They're going to be with the Lord forever. There'll be a shout. There'll be a trump of God, the Bible says. That trumpet's going to blow, and you and I, who are on this earth alive, we are going to go up and be with the Lord Jesus. Now, those who are not saved are going to remain on this earth, and they're going to go through what's called the tribulation. The tribulation is a seven-year period that begins right after the rapture. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there's a relative amount of peace, and a world ruler takes over in preparation for chapter 20. And he is called the false prophet, and he's also called the false prophet, and then there is the beast. And so we see three evil figures in these 7 years that take control of the earth: the beast, the false prophet, and the devil himself. And they literally have rule and reign on this earth. And what they do is they go and they deceive the world. And they are very deceptive in the world. You know, the world is being conditioned right now to accept deceptive things. The world is being conditioned today to be ready to accept deceptive things. All you got to do is look at the newspaper. Years ago, I saw a Sun newspaper that said, "Hillary abducted by aliens." That's what it said. "Hillary abducted by aliens." And I thought, if only that were true. You know? But I saw that and I noticed it. Hillary abducted by aliens. And you know, people would actually buy that and open up and read to find out how Hillary got abducted by aliens. Now, it goes to show us something. It goes to show us how deceptive people can be sucked into deceptive things today. May I tell you this? There's only one hope of truth in the world, and that's the Word of God. Amen. That's the Bible. There is no other hope, because Satan is alive and well in this world, deceiving. So when the Christians are taken out of this world, the promotion of truth is gone. And the only thing left is the deception of Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. Well, he puts a mark on people. We know what that mark is. 666. By the way, that figure, you'll begin to see that. That will see more and more of that figure. 666. The beast and the prophet, there's a mark. And those that have worshipped the beast and succumbed to him and followed his deceptive voice will have that mark, either on their forehead or on their hand. And by the way, they're even working with computer chips today, where you can they can put computer chips under your skin and do simple things. I don't know if that's exactly what it's talking about, but I do know this. God said that's going to happen. There will be people who are deceived by the beast and the false prophet. But there will be some who will not be deceived. And they are called martyrs. And they, during this 7-year period, are going to have to give their life and die for the cause of Christ. But when they die, the Bible says they will be with the Lord and rule and reign with Him in that 1,000-year period. So I'm saying to you today that Satan and the devil for 7 years, and boy, the Bible tells us horrible things are going to happen on this earth during that 7-year period. By the way, if you're not saved today, you're going to go through that 7-year tribulation period. Yeah, right. You're going to go through 7 years. The first 3.5 years will seem like relative peace, but it is nothing more than the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist setting up in a deception to destroy and to rule the whole world. And then the second half of the tribulation is a time of great trouble, great terror. The world will be destructive. Great hailstones from heaven. The moon, I believe it is, will turn to blood. It's not going to be like it is. It's going to be completely different, this earth. It's going to be utter chaos for 3.5 years. Friend, you don't want to live through that. You don't want to live through that. You want to know Christ before that happens. But when the 7 years is over and that great tribulation is over, it then picks up in chapter 20 where we just read. And I want to look at this chapter. After 7 years of this great tribulation, there are those that were saved during the tribulation. They were beheaded for the cause of Christ. And there are those that we find that are still lost. And what is going to happen to them? So I want to work my way through Scripture this morning and hope with interest you'll hold to what I'm teaching you and saying this morning. Now, the first thing that happens after 7.5 years is the Bible says an angel comes down from heaven and he's carrying a chain. I wanted to bring a chain with me in church this morning, but since I'm not an angel, I will defer from the holding the chain. But God says there's an angel that's going to come from heaven, and he's going to have a chain. And what's he going to do with that chain? Well, the Scripture says he's going to lay hold of Satan. Boy, that's going to be good. I'm going to like that. Amen? The devil's done enough destructive work and enough deception in people's minds and hearts. You know, we live in a time when Satan will twist things and make good look evil and evil look good. And do you know that's nothing more than his deception in the world? That's nothing more than his deception. Isn't it amazing? We live in a world where Christianity can be taught as evil and bad, and any other false religion is okay and good. It's because we're entering this time when deception's taking over and deception is leading. And after 7 years, an angel, I think God finally gets fed up and God reaches his limit, and God does that. And he comes down from heaven and he takes the chain in his hand. And what does he do? He grabs a hold of the devil. Now, can you picture it? He grabs hold of the devil, and the Bible calls him that old serpent. He is a serpent, isn't he? And by the way, he's that same serpent in Genesis chapter 3 that deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's the same one, same old serpent. So the angel comes, has the chain, and he's going to bind Satan. He's going to put him on a chain. Amen? I kind of picture a big bad bulldog on a chain. And the devil and the angels got him. And what's he going to do with him? He's going to lay hold of him, according to verse number 2. He laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years be fulfilled. Now, 1,000 years, he's going to be stuffed in this bottomless pit. He'll be chained up. He cannot get out. There's a seal on him. And that means that for these 1,000 years, God, with those that are saved, will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, that's why we call it the millennium. That's why the Bible teaches it as 1,000-year time. Can I tell you something? It's going to be wonderful. Amen. It's going to be a wonderful time. Amen. After all the destructive chaos, finally, God steps in, takes the deception of Satan, bottles him up, if you will, and he rules and reigns with God's people on this earth. Boy, it's going to be a perfect thing. Amen? Amen? What a wonderful thing. Well, I'll tell you what. If you're saved here today, thank God you don't have anything to worry about. Amen? Amen. It's those that are unsaved that really have to worry about that, what the events of Scripture teach. And so I want to get there today and teach you what Scripture is saying. But now, after this 1,000 years is ended, in verse 4, the Apostle John, stay with me. Verse 4, the Apostle John says, I saw thrones. And then he says, I saw men sitting upon them in judgment. And around them were these ones that were beheaded for the witness of Christ. They did not receive this mark on their foreheads. They did not receive the mark of the beast on their hands. They didn't receive it. They were martyred for the cause of Christ. They with him. And they were the ones who ruled and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, after that 1,000 years is over, something happens, and it's called judgment, the great white throne judgment. And that is found for us in verse 11. And notice verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from the head, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no peace for them. Now think about that for just a moment. God is sitting on his throne after this 1,000 years are over, and everyone who's ever lived in history is going to be judged. This judgment is not a judgment of our works. This judgment is not a judgment of what we've done with our life. This is a judgment on whether or not we have been saved through the blood of Christ. The great white throne judgment. We live in a time when people don't like judgment. But can I tell you that it won't stop that? Whether a person believes in it or not does not mean it's going to go away. I could believe that you don't have an automobile, but you're going to go out after the service and get in your car and drive it away. What I believe doesn't really matter. What God said is what really matters. And on that day, there's this great white throne. And notice verse 12. It says, and I saw the dead, all the dead, small and great, stand before God. You know, the rich, the powerful, the mighty, they're all going to stand before God. Right. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your social standing. Doesn't matter your wealth. Everyone someday is going to stand before God. And Philippians tells us, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so God judges them, and he judges them out of the books. We know, and I've taught on this, the three books is the book of life. And then the Word of God is one of these books. So God's going to open his book. He's going to open the Word of God, and we're going to be judged right out of the Word of God. Can I tell you that the Word of God declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus? That's what the Bible says. If you are in Christ Jesus on that day, thank God there's no condemnation. Thank God. That is gone. That has disappeared because you are in Christ. But if you are not in Christ, then the book is going to judge you, and it's going to look at the Word of God and what this book says. is how we're going to be judged. And the Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 9, that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And what does that mean? That means unless the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and your sin, you won't make it to heaven. You'll have to face the retribution, the results of the judgment of God. That's what you'll have to face. We were talking to a lady yesterday, and Lauren led a lady to the Lord yesterday. But this lady had a hang up that she had to overcome. Good lady, a nice lady. She's a very friendly person. But she thought that her good works would outweigh her bad, and that she would get to heaven one day by being a good person. Now, can I tell you, you cannot get to heaven by being a good person. You cannot do it. You say, wait a minute, I thought I'm supposed to be good. We are, but we're supposed to live for Christ and do good works after we're saved because we are in Christ. That's why. But good works have no saving power in them at all. And here's why. Here's why. It's because we also have sin in us. Do you know everybody's a sinner? Everyone is a sinner. And there's only two kinds of people. There's either those sins are on your heart, or those sins have been washed in the blood of Christ. One of the two. It can't be both. Either your sins are washed away or they're still on that account. And when God opens the books, he's going to know which one of us have our sins washed away. And you know, Jesus said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. It will not be in accordance to the good things that we've done in life. The matter on that day will be, is that sin been washed in the blood of Christ? And that's it. That is all. God's not going to ask you, did you do this, that, and the other? God's not going to come to us and say, did you serve me? Did you do this? Did you do that? No. The only thing that's going to matter on that day is if the blood of Jesus has been applied to your heart. So I ask you today, when Jesus opens that book, and he will one day, because all the dead, small and great, will stand before God. And when he takes that book and takes the word of God and opens it up, will you be a Christian who is saved and washed in the blood, or will you be one who does not have Christ and sin is still on your account? Which one will you be? Well, the Bible tells us what happens. The Bible tells us, verse 12, he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And even those that are dead and buried at sea, the Bible says, will not be forgotten by God. Even those who have been buried at sea, they will stand before God one day. All people, all who've died and lived, any person who's drawn breath in this life will stand before God on that day. And you can imagine the huge throng of people. And God will take his book and he will judge all of us and according to it. But now verse 14 and verse 15 are the most important verses to pay attention to see what will happen in this. Verse 14, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, what is that talking about? Death and hell. Hell itself is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And death itself will be cast into the lake of fire. And that's what's called the second death. The second death. Now notice verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I want you to notice who's in the lake of fire. Those who was not found in the book of life, they were cast there. And those who did not know Christ, they were all there. Satan himself is there. He's cast into this lake of fire that we know according to the passage. And so here's the point. The point is that those who are without Christ one day will be cast into an eternal lake of fire. It'll never end. It never ends. God never tells us there's an escape clause. God never says there's an opportunity to leave, or that maybe you could pray your way out, or somebody could pay your way. That's not in the Bible, is it? It's not there. But what is in the scripture is this understanding that if I'm not saved and I'm not washed in the blood of Jesus, when I stand before God one day, He's going to look at me, and in Matthew it says, He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Cast ye into outer darkness, where there's weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth." Now, I don't like to have to tell people that, to be honest with you. I wish I could always get up and tell you good things. But I will tell you this, if you receive Christ, if you know Christ as your Savior, if He beats in your heart, if you're here today and you don't know Him, can I tell you, this passage of Scripture ought to be enough motivation for you and I to open our heart to the Lord Jesus and trust Him. You know, this sounds very strange, and some of you may not understand this, but the Bible tells us that some are saved by fear, pulling them out of the fire. Some know that that's where they're headed. Some know without a shadow of a doubt. I'm a preacher. I've talked to people, and I've asked them about their eternity and where they're going to go. And there are some who are very clear and tell me, I'm not on my way to heaven. And they know in their heart that this is the end where they're going to go. But friend, it does not have to be that way. If you're here today or within the sound of my voice, there is still an opportunity for you to stand before God and Him open that book, and He'll look at that book and He'll say, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." When He looks at you and me and judges us, and He'll do it rightly. And when He does it and He sees the blood of Christ applied, friend, I want to tell you something. That is the most wonderful day to know you're saved, because sin cannot inherit heaven. Sin must be cleansed. So I ask you today, has your sin been cleansed? Has it been washed in the blood of Jesus? It's not your good will outweigh your bad, because your good can't erase the sin. The only thing that can erase the sin is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And by the way, I believe God put these passages in Scripture in our heart to even cause us sometimes to fear, to awaken from sometimes our slumber, to be alert again as to what reality is and what it will be one day. And oh, I want to tell you this morning some important things about the passage. First of all, I want you to understand that God is going to win in the end. God is going to win in the end. Satan is not more powerful than Him. God is more powerful than God. See, God is giving us, His patience is giving us time to turn to Him and trust Him. God's patient with us. God is patient with you and I who reject Him and we put it off and we say, Lord, some other time or some other day, I'll do it later. And God's patient with us. You know, God is long-suffering. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody said, why would a loving God send a man to hell? You know, that is not true at all. God, a loving God does not send anybody to hell. You and I choose it if we reject Christ. God puts the choice in your lap and in my lap. And if we reject Him, if we reject Christ, it will be on us, not on God. Not on God. So I'm saying to you, God's going to win in the end. You know, those who give themselves over to Satan, you know what happens? They're with Satan in the end. They're with Satan in the end. Well, I don't want to be in that group. Amen? Don't want to be in that group. I want to be on the winning team. I like winning teams. I like to know that I'm going to win someday. And dear friend, God gave us His Word, and He's patient with us. He gives you and I opportunity to come to Him and to receive Him. You know, God is so good to us. God gives you and I time. Because here's what happened, and this is the second point, is that when we die, our eternity is settled. When we die, our eternity is settled. There's no way you can avoid the consequences of this passage after death. Once we die, it's settled. It's done. There's nothing more that can be done. You can't receive Christ after you're dead and gone. It's impossible. And you know, there's a passage of Scripture that even tells us that in Luke chapter 16. Where a rich man died and he went to hell. And the Bible tells us that in hell he looked up, he lifted up his eyes and he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this. Send Lazarus that he'll dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented. And God said, no, those that are there cannot come to here, and those that are here cannot go to there. And then it says, send somebody to go tell my brothers. Send somebody to go tell my brothers. You know, I've often wondered how many people are in hell crying out, asking somebody to go to their friends, their family, to tell them. I've often wondered how many people are really telling us that. You say, preacher, this is pretty heavy this morning. I know, but it's better to be heavy now and ready than to face the results of the heaviness later. Right. Amen. Amen. It's better to be ready. And God gives us grace today so that He does not have to give us judgment on that day. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. The wise man is going to grab a hold of the offering of God to be saved. The wise man is going to say, Lord Jesus, I'm still alive. You've given me breath. You've given me hope. You've given me an opportunity. And Lord Jesus, I'm going to take that opportunity and I'm going to be saved. I remember when I was 13 years old, a preacher was preaching a message and I felt God weighing on my soul and I knew I needed to be saved. And yes, there was a little bit of fear inside of me. I was bothered. I was convicted. I didn't go home thinking everything's wonderful and okay. I went home on that particular night thinking, I'm not going to be going to heaven. But thank God, the next night, God in His grace gave me mercy. I went forward and I received Christ as my Savior. I'm glad I did. Oh, listen, dear friend, you can do the same thing today. You can avoid God's judgment and receive His mercy and His goodness and His kindness today if you open your heart to it. So I want to ask you, Which one are you prepared to do? Which one are you prepared to do? Are you prepared for the judgment that comes after death? Are you prepared today to receive Him and trust Him and allow His grace to come into your heart and save you? Because you can be saved today. You can know it. You can have it settled. And you can have God's peace rest in your heart till the day you die. What will you choose today? What will you choose? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes. Our heads are bowed.